Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now.
Was recorded on the Genius of Modern Music in 1947. Art Blakey was on drums, and it's a Rhythm Changes. By Rhythm Changes, I mean a song derived from George Gershwin's I Got Rhythm, without the tag, which is the normal sort of way to do it. Now, this one uses a dominant chain type of thing on it, which means dominant chords going through a circle of fifths that are calculated to kind of land somewhere. And this is a classic progression. Like, if normal Rhythm Changes is like 1-6-2-5s and 3-6-2-5, maybe 2-5-1 to the 4 to the diminished. Right? This is the two A sections at the beginning. So you could, you can, instead of doing these 1-6-2-5s, you could have a sort of a dominant chain that lands on the B flat. Like if you start on F sharp, for example, this is something this is a common substitution for the beginning of the A section there. You could hear it on something like Don Byas and Slam Stewart playing I Got Rhythm, where bass is playing that type of thing straight F sharp, and the soloist is kind of playing something like outlining the chords from F sharp 7, B 7, E 7, A 7, D 7, G 7, C 7, F 7, B flat 7 to E flat to E diminished, back to the one chord. So you can see that, why is it F sharp? It's F sharp because it's like, it's four bars. And if you did a chord every two bars and you wanted to go through the circle of fifths, you'd have to start on F sharp, right? So if it was just two bars, I could just go 1, 6, 2, 5, then I start on D, G, C, F, then I would land on B flat. Or if I wanted to start one more before that, I could go A7, D, G, C. If I wanted to go one more back, I go E. Oh, what'd I do? I should go here. That's a weird one. I've never done that before. And if I wanted to go one more back, I'd go from B flat to B7. E7, A7, D7, G7, C7. And if I want to go all the way back to the beginning, I start on F sharp. So that's a dominant chain. Now, there are many versions of this, and I'm going to get into that a little later. But this particular one that starts on F sharp 7 and goes down and lands on the B flat on the beginning of the fifth bar of the rhythm changes, that's a classic one, and that's the one that Humph is using in the head. The melody goes. Now this melody is a pattern, right? So starting on this D to E. D to E and then B flat to E flat. It's played in major thirds. So this is on the F sharp 7. He's playing. There's two horns playing, a trumpet and a saxophone. So B flat to D, that major third, and then to the major third, C to E. So that's on the F sharp 7. Giving the sound of like, it's a whole tone sound, right? There's two whole tone scales. There's that one, and there's this one. The one that has an A and a B, and a C sharp and a D sharp and all that. And those two whole tone scales together make up all 12 tones. So this is something that Monk uses quite a bit, and to great effect. Now on this tune, it's clearly preoccupied with this sound. So I wanted to talk about maybe some other ideas of combining whole tones with dominant chord progressions. When he goes up to that high note, it's not a third though, it's a fourth. That's F to B flat. With the roots. Now you know when I play this with the roots, because the melody has the root in it, when I play it here, I kind of prefer to throw the seventh in there to get the sound of the dominant seventh chord and play the root down the bottom. I think it has a more interesting sound. Technically the melody is this. But I can also do this. And then I get the root in there, and I can throw in the seventh, the A flat. I'm sorry, the A natural. That's the melody. There's a little lick that happens at the end. Together with B flat on the bottom. You don't have to use a thumb for all this stuff. I'm using a thumb for. I just do it out of habit, but you can play it like this as well or whatever. Monk plays a little thing on the piano using the A flat, G, and F. kind of messing around in there. The bridge is more of this, more whole tone stuff. It's kind of a call and response echo thing. And the chords on the rhythm change bridge are a dominant chain as well. Slower dominant chain. Two bars each instead of two beats. So D7 to G7, C7 to F7. Then it goes back up to F sharp. So the melody on the bridge is another kind of pattern. Octave up. And then on the G7 you play a whole tone scale again. It's a fragment of a whole tone scale. So on the D7 is, he's playing the flat 7, the root, and the flat 5 of the D7 chord. Now he's playing the flat 5, the 3rd, the root, and the flat 7. Right? And then the whole same thing down a whole step. On C7. Back to this. Thing that he's doing is moving down whole tone scales in half steps, right? So, you know, you could move dominant chords down in half steps too as a dominant chain, right? You could say, instead of saying circle of fifths, F sharp, B, E, A, D, G, C, F, B flat, you could just go down in half steps, F sharp, F, E, E flat, D, D flat, C, B, B flat. The reason for that being that these are from the same kind of family, right? Playing an F7 instead of a B7. It's a tritone substitution for the B7. Same kind of sound. They all come from the same diminished. And I'll get more into that in a second as well. So if you had if you said, well, what whole tone scale goes with what dominant chord, you know, you say, well, on F sharp 7, it's the whole tone scale that has the 3rd in it, you know, I think of it that way, or it has the root in it. You can just say the one that has the root in it. So I don't know why I think from the 3rd, but I guess because it's a more interesting note to be starting on. So the scale, the whole tone scale from F sharp, it has the root, the 2nd, the 3rd, the sharp 4, the sharp 5, the flat 7. That's what the notes are. Nice thing on guitar is that you can play a lot of whole tone stuff on this, on the G and B string. Those are already tuned in major thirds. So all this stuff, I'm playing major thirds. Steps, those are all whole tone scales. Those are all from the same whole tone scale. The one that has F sharp in it. Now you can see those, it's because it's totally symmetrical, that same scale could work for any other chord that's like a whole step away, so or any, you know, continuing in whole steps like these. Also work for E or for D. C. Or for B flat. Or A flat. Or G flat. jazz. Now, this would be easier to play if we could do it on here. But we don't really have that option, unless we did it up an octave. Too high on this guitar, so I do it in this octave. A little harder fingering on the third and fourth strings. We have to use, you know, major thirds that are like this instead of like this. Like these are easier, a little harder, but whatever. You can still do a pretty good job. Step in either direction, I'm going to go to the other whole tone scale. And the other whole tone scale is the one that corresponds to a chord that's next in the cycle of dominants. So let me show you what I mean by that. That's F sharp 7. It's using the scale that has F in it, right? F sharp, sorry. And the scale that, if I go to B7, that has to be the scale that has B in it. Now I move by a perfect fifth. A perfect fifth is not divisible by whole tones. It's 7 half steps. So that means I have to go to the other whole tone scale. The scale that has a B in it, right? And it has an F in it also. So you can see that that's just a half step away from the one that has an F sharp in it. So if I take any whole tone thing, I could take an augmented, and I go to B. Now I'm a B augmented. I move down a half step. Now I'm on an E, I guess 9 with a sharp 11. Keep going. I could just take a major third. On this case of F sharp 7, this major third is a flat 7th and the 9th. I move it down a half step with the B and the bass, and it becomes a third and the sharp 5th. And then the pattern continues. Flat 7, 9th, 3rd, sharp 5th. I could take a different one. I could take the one that's the root and the third. Not as interesting, but then you come here. Oops, sorry. It's kind of going between consonants and dissonance, right? Or, you know, whatever, this one. Now, it doesn't have to go down, right? You could also go up. Like, if I moved it up, I'm still going to the same scale, because it doesn't matter whether I move it up or down. I'm using the major third to sort of imply the whole tone scale, but it could be the same thing. It could be like, it could be a phrase. You know, that could, you know, I'll do an easier phrase to play. Or maybe here. I'm in F sharp. I moved it up. I moved the D, E, F sharp, G sharp that was on F sharp up to an E flat, F, G, A on the B, you know, which is the whole tone scale for that. I could have also moved it down, you know, to D flat, E flat, F, G. Either way, it works both ways. So here I go, I'm moving it up. I could keep moving it up. Let's see. That's kind of cool, right? So I started here. F sharp. F sharp with an, you know, augmented. So I'm playing B flat and D in the top. When I go to the B, playing a B and a D sharp. When I go to E, I'm playing a C and E, and then so on. A augmented, D major, G, C augmented. So it makes a little pattern there. I could do a pattern. So in that case, I'm moving. One thing is moving up chromatically, and the other one's moving down through the circle of fifths. So bass line is going. Top's going up in semitones. So those together. Oh. Let me do that again. This one's a little weird because can't get the bass note I want, which is down here, so I'm playing it up here. That's actually the thing I improvised on the recording that I kind of like it. It goes something like this. Sections. The first one being a whole tone-ish circle of fifths. The thing I just showed you. Resolving to the B flat to a B flat 7 in the first inversion. To the 4 chord E flat minor. To the 3. Remin. This is a more circle of fifths. This is E flat 7 to A flat 7 to D flat 7 to E. So this is going to. Just a pattern, a circle of fifths, but it's kind of a nice, nice bass movement. This is E flat 7 over D flat, A flat over C. Flat 7 over C flat to G flat, B7 over A, and so on. I put a little melody on there, like when it goes, shoot. Again, B flat 7 to the E. Using the same concept, E flat over G, E flat minor. Could bring that back, that augmented. So those two A sections are like. Let me play it more in time. Options are there? Well, it's kind of interesting. Like you could move these dominants in all kinds of ways. Like I could do you could also just move the move the whole tone stuff back and forth. Like I could go. Let's see. Maybe I go. Just little pattern there. I'm actually kind of staying in one place while the other thing's going through the circle of fifths. So these same two notes form different parts of the different relationships to the root. Here it's the starts on the third and a sharp five, goes down to the nine and sharp 11. Here it goes to the flat seven and the ninth, going down to the sharp five and the root. And then when you go to E, now it's the flat seven and sharp 11, down to the third and the sharp five. And then when you go to A, now it's the root and the third, down to the flat seven and the ninth. When you go to D, sharp five and the root to the flat seven and the flat five, and go to G. You have the ninth and sharp 11, down to the root and the third, flat seven and ninth, down to the sharp five and the root, and then third and the sharp five, down to the ninth and the sharp 11th. Oof, that was a lot of numbers. So I'd rather not say all the numbers. I'd rather just know that it works. So, so. Not particularly interesting, but as an exercise, kind of cool. But I could move these in different ways. I could go. Moving up in whole steps. Why is that allowed? Well, you can move dominants. There's four different ways that dominants can move in a chain. They can move by fourths, like we did. Or they can move by half steps down. They can move by whole steps up. Or they can move by minor thirds down. Right? Why is that? That's because they're all kind of a similar sound. They all come from the same diminished family. So, like if I said F sharp 7 comes from the diminished that has a B flat in it, or an A sharp. F sharp to if I lower that G to an F sharp, I have the F sharp 7. If I go back to that dimension, but I lower the E to an E flat, right now I have an E flat 7. And go back to the diminished, I lower the D flat to a C, I have a C 7, and so on. Lower the B flat to an A, seven. So those four diminished, the F sharp 7, E flat 7, C 7, A 7, they're all kind of equivalent sounds, which means that for an F sharp 7 to go to B 7, I could also come from, instead of coming from F sharp, I could come from C 7 to go to B 7, or I could come from A 7 to go to B 7, or I could come from E flat 7 to go to B 7. So those are the four types of movements. Down by a fifth or up by a fourth, you know, down a half step, C7 to B7, or up by a whole step, A7 to B7, or down by a major third, E flat 7 to B7. Right? So if I were to make a dominant chain, I could do all kinds of stuff. I could go like, starting on F sharp, I could go. I just did a little pattern there. I went F sharp, A flat, B flat, E flat to B, to C sharp, D sharp, A flat, up to B flat. It's always going to work out. It's always going to be able to land in the right place. And why was that allowed? Because I went up by whole steps, and then I went up by a fourth to get to E flat, and then I went down by a major third. Let's try a different one. I don't know. I'll start on F sharp again. I'll go to F to D D-flat to E-flat. And I'll do a pattern. That's kind of cool. So I went F-sharp, F-sharp, F, C, D, G, G-flat, D-flat. Oh, wait, no, I messed up there. F. Right. When I start talking about it, I mess it up. So F sharp, F, D flat, E flat, A flat, G, E flat, F, B flat. Right? So that's, you know, and to play on top, that might be. Some interesting lines and pathways to get through, but if I was just to put the whole tone on there, I could just follow the same rules that I was doing before. The whole tone just has to move by a half step in either direction. Play an F sharp, E, F sharp, F natural, and then to D flat. Like D flat minor, then to E flat, then to A flat, to G, to E flat, to F. So it always works. It's pretty interesting. So the relationship is between the there's a relationship that kind of moves around between the whole tone and then the diminished thing. So it's kind of like dividing the octave into six parts or three parts, depending on how you think about it. But it's basically a triple kind of division of the octave to make the whole tone thing, hexagonal or triangular thing. And then the diminished is dividing it into four parts or two parts, you know, it's sort of a duple. So it's like a duple and triple relationship. So if you play you could play the whole tones in a diminished pattern, like I'm playing them just up a alternating whole tones and half tones. That would work on this. Right? I'm playing go the other way. So the possibilities are endless. But anyway, that was something that occurred to me to do on this tune, Humph, because you got... He's clearly playing with that. Now, on the recording, they kind of just go to a regular B-flat rhythm changes. They don't do a lot of... The soloists don't do a lot of that. Probably it would have been too much, you know, instructions and stuff, but. Around with all kinds of stuff. And the tune itself, there's another challenge, just a guitar thing in terms of getting it up to speed. To get this F sharp root in there, and then, because to really play it right, I want to be able to pull off these notes. Can't do that while holding the root. So I think on the recording I don't play the fifth string roots, I just play the sixth string roots, something like. loss. So in time, one, two, three. Diatonic stuff and whole tones together. Just to solo entirely with whole tones, it could get a little boring. That concept, and feel free to send me some messages or something if it's confusing to you. I know it's a bit of theory, but that's Humph by Thelonious Monk. Very advanced concepts from 1947, a long time ago. Okay, see you next time. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading. We work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.